consistent. Be like assistant, full of wisdom, ready to release and flush out all the shit, son.
If you've not broken the law, which is harmless fraud, then everything will be a statute or act. They'll ask you your name, just say to them, am I being detained or am I free to go? And that's all you have to say.
I'll tell you what to look up online. Look up information regarding free man on the land. No. This is all the law information that's coming out. And to try and get rid of all that deception that's going out.
Understanding the cipher. TV devilish pipe piper. Mind thief in the night. We write ya. All day, all night. It excites ya. Now it starts for the like me too. You'll start to see more truth.
But what we've got tonight was we've got some random people booked up to come on later on who are trying out some of these processes. But at the moment, we've got a pair that have got their own little website, and they go around asking questions about tax and the corporate state. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, good evening. My name is Michael.
And my name is Jeremy.
Together we create videos, as you said, but apart from our activity as filmmakers, we also are very interested in the truth and in everything that's coming out there on the internet. There's so many people, discussing similar issues, and to do with, humanity being enslaved and how, the corporations, etc. And I guess as filmmakers, we always try and find common ground and try and see what is similar between different people saying, talking about what appears to be the same subject. So we've put together a list of questions, of subjects that we're interested to learn more about. And from what we noticed, you, Dom, seem to be in this for quite a while. I mean, you've been for a few years, and from your YouTube videos, we noticed that you kind of a lot about these legal issues, which we thought we might discuss with you and get more clarifications on.
Yeah, that's right. Because you've got a whole list of questions I've got in front of me, from everything from the police oath to how you think the police should be educated in this, because I think that's where we're both definitely on the same page, is educating the police of what's going on, because there's definitely some corruption at very high levels that's manipulating everyone down this fictitious pyramid that's been created.
So can I just ask you, because we've structured the questions leading into the other, so how about if we start with the straw man? There's a whole subject about the straw man and the birth certificate. Could you kind of give us, people who never heard of it, in a nutshell, what exactly is this whole straw man argument?
Well, the people that talk about the straw man, and I had the guy that made the little film Meet Your Straw Man. It's basically explaining how the birth certificate is not who you are. It's been created so you can play their world of commerce, because in the monetary system, or in the world where people have to use money to go out and shop and to trade, you've got this middleman, paper, coins and digitalized currencies. And the straw man theory is basically much like the Wizard of Oz, where you've got a straw man. And the Wizard of Oz is allegedly all about the banking industry and the Bankruptcy Act that came in 1933, explaining how they're all travelling to Oz, which is a weight, an ounce, gold road. Originally it was silver slippers, so it was silver and gold. And you had the Tin Man, which is allegedly the tax identification number. And it's all these hints were subliminally put into the film. So when you go to the Straw Man, didn't have a brain, couldn't think for himself. So he needed somebody to either think for him, or he wanted a new brain. When they finally got to meet this great Wizard of Oz, he was just nothing more than a little man hiding behind the curtain, controlling the whole world. And what he symbolises is the bankers, which is like one little or a few little families controlling the whole world. And because he couldn't actually give the straw man a new brain, he's not capable of doing that, he's just a man, he's not this great wizard, he gave him a certificate, and that's where the straw man sort of like story comes from. And that certificate is your birth certificate. It's your or the name that is registered, and then you perceive it to be yours through the education and saying it every day, and every year you get a birthday which you celebrate. And I just see it all as part of the programming that they've done to enslave humanity, basically.
So all them years ago when I was every Christmas I would watch the Wizard of Oz come on, they were trying to tell me something, and you know, you've put a connection there that's fantastic, because the pennies just really dropped with me straight away, as you've said that, me being an 80s kid and grew up with Wizard of Oz every year. Okay, so
that does make me think of
the straw man.
And that does make me think, did they actually put this information in films for us to find out or to ponder over or even to make a conspiracy out of?
Well, if I mean, when you say they put it into films to what, do they want the light to switch on in our heads, or is it the filmmakers are realizing it and they're trying to come out of the closet, if you like, so that we understand?
It does make me question with a lot of things, especially like in the mainstream. When it's in the mainstream, why is it there?
Can I just ask, basically, say I didn't understand what you just said about the Wizard of Oz and about the straw man. So I just want to take it to bits, just to make sure, you know, people understand, and including myself. So what you're saying is that the straw man is, I mean, what I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they, when a person, I mean, this actually leads me to another question here, and I'd like to read this paragraph and maybe you can comment on it. It's to do with the OPPT, the One People's Public Trust, which I believe people have heard about. I mean, we have been hearing about it, and, you know, Facebook is going crazy with all these groups. And you know, can you explain first what the OPPT is, and then we can link it to the straw man? Take it from there.
See, I've been trying to get people on that really do know stuff about the One People's Public Trust, because I've only just heard of it recently as well. The information seems to have gone viral, but to me, it's they're saying that they've foreclosed on major banks and corporations doing UCC filings. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, on the 25th of December of last year, from what I understand, there was some filings, filed into UCC law that accused or foreclosed on corporate governments and corporate banks and corporate entities in the main, you know. So how, obviously, I can see the, we've looked into it. We've seen the filings. You know, we're talking to lawyers and they said, yeah, them filings have been made, but we're not sure. You know, the powers that were are still acting as things were before. So, go on,
yeah,
Michael.
Yeah, the way I understood it is that according to UCC law, which is the Unified Commercial Code, apparently is the highest kind of law, which is international law, which enables trade between countries. And apparently they claim that when the bank forecloses your home in England or any other country, they actually use UCC law to actually foreclose on you. Now, what they've done, they have another thing about UCC law. If one entity claims something against another entity, then the other entity has to rebut it. Now, if they don't rebut it, then the claim stands as law. So what they did, defined an entity called the debtor, which apparently, allegedly, incorporates all the corporations, banks, and governments. And they have, and the OPPT brought a claim against them through UCC filings, saying that the debtor has committed treason against humanity by enslaving humanity by running private money systems, therefore enslaving humanity without humanity's knowledge or consent. Now, obviously, these were not rebutted, therefore they stand as law. And what else? Another thing, they went a step further and they created courtesy notices whereby people who owe money to banks can actually use, or banks or anybody else, any other commercial entity, which apparently has been foreclosed on, they could use this courtesy notice to basically communicate with the person chasing the debt and notify them that the organization they claim to represent no longer exists, therefore it's personally between these two people, and then you start claiming them. That brings me, it reminds me a lot about things that are mentioned on the site, what is it called, getoutofdebtfree.org. So I was wondering if you could explain more about that.
Well, I've been talking to people like who are against this OPPT. They're saying that the One People's Public Trust will be playing a position of a trustee in the corporate world and want all property to be going to them rather than, let's say, the Bank of England has like a body of trustees, and it's like creating all this fictional money. Who's to say like power corrupts, and an absolute power corrupts absolutely? So if these guys from the One People's Public Trust have set all this up, are they not going to get control of a huge amount of power and wealth?
Well, according to what I heard the other day, Caleb, who's one of the three trustees, there's another lady called Heather, and I forgot the third person, they suggested to dissolve the, I think they mentioned that, to dissolve the trust, because really at the end of the day, they're very spiritual. They're actually taking spiritual ideas and they put them into to legalese at a very high level. So, you know, they introduced something called the CVACs, which apparently they're like value-added creators centers, which are going to be like the new governments, and you know, the way people will govern themselves, and it's all to do with self-governing, where people could be responsible for their actions and eventually not even have a government. So basically they're saying, well, by having this trust, we are basically becoming your masters, and we don't want to be your masters, so really we can get rid of the whole idea. So what they've done, in a way, is just created, maybe they're just a symbol showing people what they can actually do. If they can go and make these filings, then other people can do other things on a smaller scale, which is what we wanted to talk to you about, because you've been fighting this battle, you know, locally in the UK, and you've gained a lot of knowledge. So, you know,
see, for me personally, I think any of that paperwork, because that's the sort of stuff that I did used to look into years ago, was creditors in commerce and things like that. And the way I saw it, and I had a huge debate with one of my close friends at the time, and he was totally right, that if you're going to go down that route, and I'm sure you know yourself, then it's a lot of study every day and a lot of paperwork, especially if you're trying to file these paperworks onto the system, which is a machine, and they fire back paperwork at you. And it's just a repetitive thing where you've got to keep going at it by filing paperwork back at them, back and forth, back and forth. And I don't see that as being free from the system, because if we're supposed to be natural beings and enjoying our time here, then surely that whole system they've created is there just as a distraction from life. And that's what makes me question about the OPPT, is these guys that set it up, who are they? Where have they come from? Where's all this knowledge come from? And what sort of weight does their filings actually hold? And wouldn't the powers that be, or whatever people want to call them, the New World Order and the plan that is out there, wouldn't they want to control a revolution? And if they can see people waking up en masse with a lot of numbers, wouldn't they want to set this sort of a plan up? Could it not be a plan of theirs?
Fair enough. So I guess at this point we agree that we don't understand exactly what the OPPT are and what their motives are. The fact of the matter is they have caused a lot of interest amongst many people who are getting involved and jumping on the wagon and trying to be part of a change. And
I think you hit the nail on the head there as well with jumping on the wagon, because I have seen people actually making videos saying that they don't fully understand this One People's Public Trust, but they're copying the filings. And it's like, hang on, you don't understand it, but you're copying it because it might sound good. You don't fully know the implications of what you're doing. I don't know. I'll fully investigate.
I think that for myself, the One People's Trust is awakened. You know, you've been awakened a long time. I've been awakened probably now 6 weeks. I didn't realise, you know, Michael introduced me to, sent me a link to One People's Trust. I read it And then it was just snowballed from there for me, because then I found people like yourself. And what I've seen, certainly around the UK from looking on YouTube, there's lots of people that are becoming awake. Now, whether they agree with, you know, yourself, or they agree with One People's Trust, or they agree. But the thing is, it's wakening them up. So I don't think it'd be a bad thing. If it is even the government or the powers that were or the powers that be that did start this off. You know, it's waking people up. And I think that's now we're at a stage where there's lots of individual people, you know, that are all got their own little thing going, all got their own little following. And I think it's somewhere along the line, somebody has to say, look, we all agree. We all want to get out of enslavement. You know, I'm not saying I want to run off to the jungle and live in a field, but I don't want to be a slave. Now, what can we do as a collective groups of people? How do we bring all these people together?
That's a very good question, and one I keep repeating over and over on this radio show. Looking for the solutions is one of the keys for mass. I see what this system does to people. I can only find personal solutions. Sorry for not being able to find a better word than personal solutions, but like my solutions couldn't necessarily fit anybody else, because to operate in this system called society, where they have this body of rules and the straw man, the name, the connection to that system, the connection to the monetary system and all the rest of it, it's very hard to break free from that. I see people daily contacting me and asking what I think they should do. And it's hard when you can see the system for what it is, and if people are not complying to that system, but they're doing it with property, like registration of cars, for example, people that have tried to do that, and how honourable it may be to not need a driving licence because, like, you think you're a sovereign being, the system is corrupt and it will still take the vehicle off you, and sometimes you may get away with it, but huge percentage of the time they're going to eventually take stuff off you and keep coming back. And that's what I've noticed time and time again. And my solution is, I don't actually own anything, so what can they truly take from me anymore?
So you're basically saying there's a solution for people who have things, who own property, and there's a solution for people who don't. So, well, maybe we can look into both options. And for example, I mean, let's just look. If I'm asking myself, what is the problem? The problem is that how are we slaved? How are we enslaved? How are we not free? I guess if I want to go now and opt out from society, just get myself a piece of land, and I've done it before, I've grown my own vegetables, I'm a vegetarian, I could eat, you know, I could grow and I can eat my own food, I could grow some chickens if I ate meat, and just go about my life peacefully. Now, what I presume will happen is as soon as I get there and just get a piece of land somewhere, you know, outside of London, say, somebody will show up and with a warrant and try and get me off the land and stop me doing it. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. That's part of the problem. How can, like, I've done it, tried it myself. I've as you mentioned earlier, I joined in with a community called Kewbridge Eco Village. And had some wild and crazy times there. But in the end, they went to court. They didn't try any other process except begging and pleading with the judge. So I've gone off and tried to do it myself. And unfortunately, I didn't have any court action. But to take this on in court would be a very interesting thing if people had the knowledge and knew how to deal with it. And I think it would be a beautiful thing to take something about the land to the High Court, because that's where it needs to be addressed if any rules are going to change in the system. And yeah, people might say, yeah, it's just a rule, you don't have to consent. But this is part of it. When you're not consenting to these said rules, the statutes and acts, the police truly don't have any authority anymore. Since they've gone all corporate, they just have a procedure to follow. And that procedure is to take you in, take your name, take your prints, take a signature. This is where they've got joined onto a contract. And that's how it works.
You see, I for myself, I look you know, I haven't got your experience in all this, but I look that there's two problems that we're facing here. You know, if you have the average person or individual, sorry if I use the wrong words, but the individual that goes about their life and they don't actually come, you know, encounter a confrontation with the law or confrontation with bailiffs, you know, they seem to, they're happy to live their life that way. What they're not happy is that every Monday morning they got to get up, go to work, pay their mortgage, pay their bills, so they're sucked into that system. Now, a lot of people are frightened. You know, they don't have the courage like yourself has, where they can stand in front of a police officer and, you know, and lay down the law to him, if you like, or her. So I'm thinking, what could the average person do? The average person in the street that doesn't have your courage and can't walk out and do that, you know, is there a document that we could all say on the 1st of July, everybody that wants to get to stop this system must send this letter into the Prime Minister? And if there was enough people doing it, would we be listened to? But when we're doing these little chips at the block, we're chipping away at a big pyramid, which you're not going to move the stones unless you join together. Now, somebody with the experience and that understands all this, you know, information that's out there needs to say, right, this is what we need to do. We're going to give 6 months, and on this day, we're all going to do it. If you're interested, opt in with us. If you're not interested, then don't. And that would, I believe that that could go viral, and people, then you would see change. But by you doing a bit and somebody else doing a bit, you know, it's just not going to happen.
So what do you think they would do then if they were going to listen to what you had or what you wanted to put forward to them? Because I do like what you did send to me about education of the police, and I do think that is key, because these are the boys in blue, the ones that they're protecting you, but at the same time they're protecting a huge corporate policy. And you need to educate these guys, and that's basically my key, what the way I've been going out there and doing it. And you was on about formatting some kind of leaflet or pamphlet that you could give to the police.
Yeah.
And
so can I just,
what the benefits of that are, and also could there be drawbacks to this also? And I don't know if you know of a Canadian judge who done this article called Meads versus Meads.
No.
Okay, well, this Canadian judge has basically gone into most of the aspects that people put out there, from Dean Clifford to John Harris, myself, and then they've touched on most of it, and it's sort of like a judge's aspect of how to deal with these people that are going to come forward with these procedures or processes within a court system. So they are preparing for people that are willing to stand up to the system in many, many ways.
Okay, well, could it be more specific?
Well, basically, this Meads versus Meads is lined it out, guidelines, basically, for the courts. And if all you've got to do is Google Meads versus Meads, it's a huge document that's basically telling other judges, if you've got this sort of process coming up, then this is how they'll say it and how they'll believe it. And it even, I think it labels a few cases that are out there as well. And then you go a bit deeper into it and look at the case law where people have actually gone up and tried these sort of stuff. And obviously, Meads versus Meads is not going to show like any success stories in there at all. It's just going to show how to defeat these sort of procedures and processes.
So that's bad news, basically.
No, I don't take this as bad news. What I take it as is that these are the guys that are truly bar accredited, and they've got all the super duper books in front of them. They've got the education to get them into these places, so they hold the key too. Now, if they're drafting up these documents, you can read into it and then learn a lot from them.
Can I ask you something very specific? So let's go back to talking about educating the police. you, I mean, there's a very basic issue to do with the oath that the police take, and then common law versus, I think, is it civil law, or what's the law that is not common law?
Well, that's it. It's the statutes and acts that require consent to be given the force of law. And people say,
explain to us as if we've never heard it before. Let's really lay the whole thing down slowly and explain every part of it.
Okay, well, the Law Society has its own language, which you are aware of, and it's called legalese. Now, these words look and sound like English, like person. We think a person from a young age is your brothers and sisters, next man, next woman. When in legalese, a person is defined as a corporation. Now, all their statutes and acts are acting upon the person. So if you're giving them that name that's on the birth certificate, you're representing the corporation. And that's what they need. They need your consent for it to be given the force of law. And how they get your consent is by saying, what is your name? And then you say the name on the birth certificate, you give a joinder to it by the date of birth, and you give them a signature, which is contract. Now, how this is in legalese is you've got a statute. A statute is legally defined as a legislated rule of society and a society is legally defined as a group of people joined by mutual consent. So, have you ever consented to be part of a society? Well, every time you use that name, you are. You're consenting to being part of that society. You use banknotes which have got the Queen's face on it. Coins which have got the Queen's face on, stamps, bank cards. It's all tied to that system. And they're letting you use this system that they've created to enslave you.
Okay, so again, there is common law that you explained it. So that's the difference between. So what is common law, unlike standard?
Ah, yeah. And common law, that's the thing. It's supposed to be no harm, loss, fraud, and breach of the peace. And a lot of people say, well, where's that written? Which is a very good point, because there's not written within law to say it's common law. But, like, the statutes and acts are pretty clear. But then again, it does become clearer when you look at somebody. If it's a civil offence, then they might not necessarily arrest you on the spot. But if you have broken what is said to be the common law, which is harm, loss, fraud, then, like, they can arrest you without needing a name. If you murdered someone, for instance, which is committing harm, then they can lock you up without even having a name, I'm sure.
So basically what you're doing in your videos, from what I understood, is you're standing there and you're basically demonstrating that you are not breaching common law. So you're doing things that are obviously not in breach of common law. However, a police officer comes to you and tries to engage with you, tries to control you, tries to get you to do something, tries to intimidate you into believing that he can actually do something to you. But what you're saying is, actually, no, I'm not under common law. And then you ask him, what is your oath? And I understand that, sir, are you under your oath, which I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, that in the police's oath, it is mentioned that they will act according to common law, not to statutes and acts. So if he confirms, yes, I'm under my oath, he is only reinforcing the fact that as long as you're not breaking common law, he can't do anything to you and can't demand anything to you, correct?
Yeah, it also says to serve the Queen or the Crown, I can't remember which one, and to protect persons and property. So it's a bit of a twisted statement, and this is something that they swear or affirm. So this is all symbolic as well with what they do. It's a twisted thing that's going on. I can't fully work it out. I'm just me, a simple man. But it is definitely a corporate state that enslaves people, and that's what I try and educate the police to. And I don't consent to the statutes and acts, but I do still get arrested for it. But this is what I keep saying. The police, if they do arrest you, it's all part of a procedure. And if you're going to go down that route and play that game, you've got to learn many levels of the game. Like when you're speaking to a police constable, it's a one-on-one, it could be a completely different experience. from them approaching you and or pulling you over when you're driving, for example. There's certain ways of dealing with it, but I think the best way of dealing with any of this sort of stuff is, when it comes to it, if they're going to arrest you, they're going to make certain claims, like if it's breach of the peace, then they have to prove their claims. If it's anything, really, they have to make, if they're making a claim, they're liable, so they have to prove it. And the first claim that they make is, give me your name. So they're claiming that you have something to give them, which is the name. And what I simply do is say, do you have any proof that I should have such a thing as a name? And if I get arrested, which tends to happen after you say something like that, then they can threaten you with mental health. They can threaten you with court in the morning. They can threaten to keep you in overnight. They can threaten you with all sorts of things. But depending on how you deal with it, if you've ever had your fingerprints taken before and they take your fingerprints, then there's a good chance that there'll be a name that comes up and they'll claim that that name is yours. And that's where most people wobble, going, well, that fruit machine over there just spat out a name, jackpot. But it's not like that. It's fingerprint machine cannot testify against you in a court of law. And it's not, is the fingerprint machine making the claim, or is the constable making the claim? If the constable's making the claim, what first-hand knowledge has he got? So you could call them up as witnesses. It depends how far you want to take it, really. It's a very deep rabbit hole.
But you don't I mean, I take on board everything you're saying there, but that's only a problem if you actually come in contact with the police, so that they feel that you're doing something that is what they deem to be wrong. Now, let's just say, the little old lady that lives next door to me, you know, she goes about her day, she goes shopping, comes home, so she doesn't really come in contact with the law whatsoever. You know, they don't stop and ask her name, they don't stop and question her. So, but I'm sure she would love to be free, where she can, she's not having to pay all these taxes on the food that she buys, and that's lying in the pocket of a shareholder somewhere. So
I'm totally with you on that. Is there a global solution?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Is there a global solution? Because, for me, I'm not saying that, like I said earlier, that I'm not saying that I want to go and live in a jungle somewhere. I live in London. I like living in London, and I'd like to stay living in London. Now, what do you feel that people can do as a collective to say, look, no more, enough's enough?
I really don't know, because I know for sure we outnumber the powers that be by a huge percentage, but that huge percentage seem to not want to do anything about the system. They don't look any further than getting up Monday and going to work, reading the papers, coming back and watching Deal or No Deal. It's very hard for people to actually get out there and want to be free. Like the little old lady that goes down age concerned, like for her dinner, and comes back and all the rest of it. If this system was taken over, because these families, it's only a few families that control everything from the media, healthcare, education, money, the whole shebang. Now, are they going to give it up? Probably not. Are they going to share their wealth? Probably not. So would it collapse? That's my biggest worry. When you're seeing a system controlling of this sort of size worldwide, globally, what is their next step? And that's why I'm so sceptic of anything that comes out, because it does make me question who's created this, for what agenda. Even the stuff that I've done in the past, going out there with the police and that, I wonder if I'm actually making it tougher for people that don't actually know this stuff. And as for the people that don't know this stuff, like the little old lady that's never going to get in contact with the police on that sort of a level, Does she see herself as a slave?
Interesting. Can I just focus once again and ask you, if you were to meet a police officer in a pub, let's say, just one-on-one, let's say he's your mate, and you want to come to a police officer and you say, I'd like to know, if you need to tell the police officer, listen, I'd like to tell you something that you probably don't know, and that thing is the following. What would that thing be, based on your encounters with the police?
I think a lot of them are being told this stuff that I'm asking them at the moment. Have you heard this sort of stuff? And they're saying, yeah.
Oh, sorry. To tell me exactly, what are you asking them? Hello, dear police officer. Have you heard? What exactly are you asking them?
Do you realise you're working and enforcing nothing more than a corporate policy, and it's all for commerce?
Okay, so I'll be the police officer. No, I'm not.
Okay, your statutes and acts are for revenue collection.
Okay.
Can you see the connection to the amount of PCNs, for example, that have been handed out in the last 10 years? A statistic come out that 14,000 PCNs were given out in 2002. And to date, every year now, it's 220,000. So that's a huge percentage rise. And this is all about just collecting money for people not being compliant to an Orwellian state.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with me? I'm just doing my job.
Well, that's the whole thing. What is your job? Is it to protect people or to collect revenue?
Well, according to my oath, it's to oversee the peace according to common law. So what's the problem?
Well, that's the thing. Statutes and acts are only acts of law.
Yeah, but I never get involved in statutes and acts. Don't forget, you came here to tell me something. So you're not getting to the point. All you said is that, you know, that somebody up there is trying to get more parking tickets out there so that they can collect more money. What's that got to do with me, the police officer, that you're trying to tell what is wrong and how I'm not aware of things, of how I am used by the corporations to do things that I'm not meant to do? How am I being exploited by them?
Well, you probably think that you're helping society, but at the end of the day, you are collecting revenue, and this goes all the way up to the Crown and the banking elites that just want to take people's money away from them, and they use you as a tool to collect that revenue. And you're not.
How are they
really
using me as a tool? How I've never collected parking tickets.
You've never served arrested somebody for a statute and act.
Okay. I don't know what to answer, but I guess if I was a police officer, I'd say, I have, but they didn't pay it. They didn't pay the fine, so I had to arrest them.
Well, the thing is, any statute and act, you'll have a procedure to follow where you have to get their name, their date of birth, and a signature. And then it goes to court, which is another place of business, and that's where the business transactions happen when people go to court and represent the name. It's about administrating money, commerce, on the day.
Well, again, so what are you telling me? So who's using me against my without me knowing?
Well, that's the whole thing. I think all of us have been programmed from a very young age. Education. They taught you a language, and this is such deep programming that every day you register the name and claim that name to be you. Are you a name? Do you even have a name? Where does this thing come from? If it's actually a tangible thing, as it would be in law, then show me it.
So what are you saying? You're saying that in law, only tangible things exist.
Well, no, because fiction exists within their realm, and that's been seen many, many times. So it doesn't matter in their realm. They can do as they please most of the time, and they usually do. People can go in there with a vast amount of knowledge and still come out guilty. And I've seen that time and time again. People with phenomenal knowledge go into court, trying out certain processes, but still being found guilty.
What does that mean?
Well, these are people that are putting a lot of time and energy into looking up all these like legal, lawful sort of argument processes, but when they're actually putting it into practice, it doesn't seem to be working within their realms. So if we're doing this on a low-level thing, and this goes back to your question earlier, if this is a low-level thing that we're all trying and attempting and failing at quite a high rate, then who's to say, like, a group thing, which I think is a bad thing personally, a group thing could actually make any kind of impact against their system, which is so huge, well, got such a huge grip on so many people.
So what? Because I watched a video today. You remember in Beijing, this young guy that stood in front of the tanks. It's quite a famous point in history. You know, now if that young man there, which nobody knows his name, he's never been identified. If he didn't make that stand and it got filmed and put on national TV and pumped all across the internet, you know, nothing would change. You know, surely for change to happen, we have to change.
Yeah, that is right. And like somebody like that has done something superb or wonderful, or who knows, it could be a bit of propaganda. But what did he change? You know what I mean? Wars are still going on. Paedophiles, people exactly enslaved by money.
So there is war still going on, and there is still all this. But what do we do? Do we sit back and just and fight our own little battle, or do we unite and somebody? You see, for me, I haven't had the experience of what you've had. I've only, as I say, it's about 6 weeks I've started to learn all this. So, and I don't like to use the word leader, but I'm going to use that word because I can't think of another word. I don't want to be ruled. You know, I have a grandson. Now, he can walk in a straight line. He doesn't want me to rule him, but he needs me to show him how to cross the road safely. Now, I want somebody to do that for me. Show me how to cross the road safely. Show me what we need to do to try and bring an end to this system, this enslavement, and how can we be free? Somebody has to stand up and be counted and not be counted and lead the people, lead us to freedoms. So how do we get to that person that's going to lead us to freedom?
Well, I'd say a good step towards this would be, and I really do think this would be a great step towards it, would be start free gatherings. And at these gatherings, do these workshops, not just law, but other things like foraging or whatever we need skills-wise to be free from that system. And this has happened before, but this was a different time, a different age. Laws were being passed and everything like that. This is Battle of the Beanfield. And in the end, when that got to such a size, the communities that were gathering, they sent the police in and just smashed all their homes up and arrested a huge majority of them and just broke up this huge community thing that's going on. And that was a huge impact on community sort of like vibe or gatherings at the time. And that was in the 80s. But I do actually think what has gone on with gatherings and festivals since then, they're being controlled heavily. The Health and Safety Act, and you've got to do this, and you've got to speak about this, and you've got to put that in, and you've got to do that. And it just seems to be a controlled opposition. So if we could set up our own gatherings totally for free, have the people that deal with the legal expertise of this sort of stuff dealing with the legal issues, because there's going to be live workshops of police turning up en masse, but we know that they have a procedure to follow. And if you word it correctly and put the invites out correctly, and I'm sure it could be quite an interesting event.
When's the first one? you know, we've been speaking to Roger Hayes. I don't know whether you know Roger Hayes and what's the group, Michael? It's the
something
British
Fusion.
Yeah.
So what do you feel about what Roger's doing?
I don't trust that quite a lot. I've tried addressing it with Roger. I've asked him to come on the show, and hopefully he will at some point and tell me more about it. But I don't see how, by people donating £100 to Roger Hayes, to the lawful bank, and waiting for him to get 1 million donations of £100 each, I think was the statement, before he can open up his own bank. But you've got to give him £100 of fiat. I just don't see that as a viable solution or any kind of economic change. It's just Roger wanting to open a bank.
I'm unaware of what you just said. I mean, I heard something about a bank, but I don't remember hearing him saying that. I'm sure he did, but we saw other things, you know, where he basically explains that the courts are actually tribunals. And when you go to court, there's nobody represent. He had this issue with the council where I think the council wasn't represented, and he came. He explained that the actual tribunal, sorry, the actual court is not a common law court. And in the common law court, you have a judge who is meant to be overseeing common law. However, the statutes and act which is being discussed at that hearing is actually not a common law matter. So the first thing he does is he asks the judge, are you, just like you do with the police, are you under your oath? And the judge won't answer him, and he was kicked out of court many times. And the judge got the security guards to seize him, because Roger claims that if the judge confirms that he is in fact under his oath, then which means he should be dealing with common law issues and not statutes and acts. I think that's what he's saying. Then the whole thing is irrelevant. And if he says that he's not under his oath, then he's just like a common man, like anyone else. And therefore, you know, it's a win-win situation for Roger. Another thing he did is, according to Magna Carta, he actually arrested the judge. I mean, I saw this YouTube video the other day, how he, you know, they do a citizen's arrest on a judge who I think claimed that he was under his oath. But I don't understand it completely. I thought maybe you could explain.
Do you believe that propaganda will be used by the truth movement and certain people within it?
I don't understand the question.
You believe you saw a judge arrested?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, your question actually makes me doubt it and, you know, almost say no. But I guess, at the time, yes, I believe that that's what happened, yes.
Well, basically, that was just a huge charade. No judge was arrested. And Roger still had court cases after that, and he was made bankrupt, and he spent a couple of weeks in prison. So I don't see how promoting that sort of a process is any type of success, personally. No judge was arrested. In fact, five people were arrested. One of them got quite a lot of time in prison for trying to do these sort of like sovereign processes, and he got let down hugely by Roger. No contact at all, or little contact. I don't even know what the full story is, but it doesn't look like somebody's been as honourable as they say they are. A lot of weirdness went on that day. I was there myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So what exactly happened? I mean, can you explain the technicalities? I mean, what exactly his claim is in terms of the judge not being tribunal? Can you explain that?
I have tried this before myself, going in with a notice of intent and a claim of right and affidavits and actually saying, this and that, and unalienable rights and the rest of it, are you on your oath? And they don't listen to that. They do shout at you, they do walk out of the room, and they will still serve a warrant for the arrest of the name. Now, the procedure is that even if this name is a legal entity of fiction, there's still a procedure to follow. So the police will come and look for you to represent the name, and then it will go round in a circle again. You'll get arrested and you'll go back to court. You might even spend a night in the cells at that point, but then they'll sentence you at some point, and then if you don't pay your fine, or if you're going to try and pay it by accepting for value or promissory notes, good luck to you. I think promissory notes is the way to go, really, if you're going to look down that route. But there's a lot of study if you want to go and be tackling the system on that sort of level, because they've been doing this for thousands of years, and we're just picking up the books in the past few decades, reading them and going, hang on a minute, we've been lied to. So to go and tackle it one by one, like you said earlier, you're just taking away a little chip of the block. I do think that's making a huge effect. I'm noticing it in the police every time I see the police. And I know that I am pretty well known to the police. Like, even went to this protest down the Bank of England yesterday. Two coppers walked past and I said, afternoon. And one of them went, all right, Dominic. It just made me laugh and I had a little chat. And it's funny because they are looking into this. And I saw his body language. He was happy. He thought it was funny. So they're looking into this on a level that we are.
You see, the thing that Michael, you know, we love making films. And the thing that we would have liked to have done, which was Michael's idea, is it's about educating the police. Not trying to fight them or trying to belittle them. Or it's about educating them. Now, I don't know how that can be done. You know, because these, I mean, let's face it, the police are the same as us. They're in a job. They're given a costume to wear to carry out that job, a bit like a doctor, you know, wears a white coat. And they've got mortgages. They've got their car loan to pay. You know, they've got their credit card bills to pay off. They're the same as us. Now, how do we wake up? How do we wake up people?
Just be yourself and do what you're doing. It's like this is what it's all about for me is that's the only thing I can be myself. And I actually think what I do does make some kind of an impact in the world. I hope it does anyway, otherwise it'd be a complete waste of time. But I think I have. The way I get a lot of contact from people. And I was talking to someone today about a process that they tried out, and this was all Freemanisms and the rest of it. And it's really good to know Freemanisms and the difference between Admiralty law, because that's what the Statutes and Acts is all about, is the world of commerce and the Admiralty connections to it, and maritime. The birth certificate is like the vessel that goes to the dock and births, and you're handing over your property at that point. But this is all them like weird spells type connection. I don't know if you've heard me talk about the language that I think we've been given by the powers that be. It's just nothing more than the spells of words, and that is magic. You're creating this resonance, but they've taught you this language. This isn't our natural tongue that we were born with. We're educated to use these words and numbers and Gregorian dates and the rest of it. Is something really a lot deeper that meets the eye on many, many, many levels.
Yeah, there's a guy called Dean Clifford.
Uh-huh.
I know he's Canadian, I think, or American, and I watched a few weeks ago one of his YouTube videos. I mean, the guy just he holds classes, and he stands there with a whiteboard, and he really explains in detail all these concepts that you seem to know very well. And to be honest, every time you mention it, I mean, I've heard those things you mentioned, but I don't really understand. I can't repeat what you've said, you know, to do with the straw man and the birth certificate and, you know, and common law and oaths and all that. I just heard those words. Now, what he, I recall, vaguely explains, yeah, which reminds me, you just mentioned that they're trying to make a connection between the body, I mean, you, the person, not the person, the human being, and the birth certificate name. And they'll keep doing it and doing it and doing it until they can actually get the connection and convict you and do whatever they want to do to you. Now, he mentioned that people who actually use that argument that I'm not the name and I'm a human being, they end up in jail and it doesn't work. And he kind of mentioned that it's like a hook. He realized that it's the birth certificate, it's its own entity. Oh, yeah. And he then realized that he just stands in court and he says, I'm not pleading to courts of contract. I'm not playing your game. I'm not doing it. Anything they say to him, he's just not playing the game. I'm not doing it. I'm not answering. I'm not playing. I'm not pleading. I'm doing nothing. And he says he wins. He ends up winning, although I heard he was arrested recently and released. So he seems to have a solution to that issue of connecting the name to the human. I mean, have you heard
this? I haven't actually. I know loads of people that do look into Dean Clifford, and he is another one with phenomenal knowledge on the legal system, and I'd love to get him on the show because he's another one that really knows his stuff. And prime example, he's been locked up for it. I've been locked up for it. And that's the thing, you've got to be prepared. If you're going to stand up against this corrupt system, depends what level you want it to go to. If you're doing it, just chipping away at these little blocks, they can still throw you in prison for chipping away at little blocks. But what would happen if you did get one of these big groups together? Would it be another Battle of the Beanfield scenario? We've hit over the hour mark at the moment, but would you like to stay on for another hour and I'll pull some more callers in? I think we will have a tune at some point and that will give me a chance to refresh myself.
Yep, sounds good to us.
Welcome back to Dark City Radio. If you're listening into the radio and you want to join in the chat, I'm looking at the chat room as we speak. The chat is the yellow bar just above the live player. Come in, ask us any questions you want. You can call into the show. The number will be in the chat room too. We've got a caller with us. Peter, I was talking to you earlier. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Not too bad. So, like, we'll get straight to the point because we've been, I don't know if you've been tuned into the show tonight, but we've been hashing over legal, lawful sort of issues and all the rest of it. And you've had a few experiences yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've had a few experiences lately with road traffic offences. And I've come across, obviously, a lot of stuff on the internet regarding how they proceed at court with taking the legal fiction, the capitalised names, to court. So I've been defending myself and not going into court, but not present myself as a legal person, but rather doing start decks.
You're doing a statutory declaration sort of process?
Yes, I am. I'm presenting myself to the court as a natural person.
What exactly is a statutory declaration?
Basically, it means that you're making a solemn declaration of who you are, and basically stating that you believe that they're bringing you in, they're trying to bring you in and say you're the legal person, which is two different. You've basically got the natural person, which is yourself, and you have the legal person, and that is the person they've created with your mother and father, which is a birth certificate. So they're trying to bring you in under the birth certificate. So I'm challenging that at court.
So how are you doing that, and how's it going, and what stage is it at? Have you had any... Carry on.
Basically what's happened, I had quite a few cases. I had almost up to 8 cases. I just run into a real bad luck of getting caught for anything that basically I was doing when I was out in the road. Overtook a traffic cop on Mark Motor once. They were doing about 20. They say they come in too quick on the zigzags. I come on a motorway at just over 80 mile an hour. They were coming up behind me to stop me for speeding. I had another speeding. Basically quite a few parting on zigzags. And I was looking at getting a driving ban. And I started looking into things to defend myself because, as a matter of fact, I couldn't get my lawyer at the time. And I come across all this kind of Freeman movement and the capitalised name and how they're using the birth certificate, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of got talking to some friends here in Scotland who's in the movement as such, as a flatter word to putting it. And I've basically been going to court to defend myself, but I'm standing as a natural person doing this start deck and basically saying to the administrator here that I'm presenting myself as properly or in rem suum for on behalf of the alleged legal person. But obviously, I'm doing this under just direct distress condition, under condition in distress, and I'm doing it at arm's length. So I'm basically the Procurator Fiscal, which is the same as the CPS, which is in England. Up here, it's the Procurator Fiscal. I've been in touch with them regarding this, and I had about, I think I had about 7 cases, but they've actually dropped 3 of them in the process, and I've got 4 pending. I'm having a little bit of difficulty.
Have they said that the cases were dropped?
They never gave me a reason. They just never brought the cases to court. I think because I started this process, I think, Dom, what I'm gathering and I'm guessing is I'd started this process with some of the other courts. They realised that I was let's say, challenging the court, or the challenging the Crown, I should say. So I think they've dropped some of the other cases because it's proven difficult for them. Because as you know, it's a money process. So basically, what I'm doing is I'm putting a spanner in their works, and they don't like it.
So if they have for a traffic offence, have they given you a court date or anything like that, or are they dismissing it before court?
Yeah, they're actually on three of the cases. They just never sent me out the paperwork, even though I'd been charged. The other ones that I've been left with, which are four, I'm in the process of going to all these. Two I've still to go up for, and two are proceeding at the moment. I had one recently just in Ayr, which is just outside Glasgow, and they never gave me my full disclosure before the court, and they kept me waiting to the end. I had some witnesses there, some 10 witnesses. When my name was called, the police were there, and they tried to issue me, they tried to give me documentation before going into the dock, which I refused, stating I've got no business with you here today, Constable. That was him trying to be, as I put, I think, was being a bit sly, trying to give me these documents as I was going into the dock. I refused the documents, stating I had no police business there today, on that day. They got extra police into the courtroom and extra security, and I had a bit of a problem with
Let me clear this up. So you've been to court, they've tried to hand you a bail date for the next court appearance, and you didn't accept it.
No, what they tried to do, Dom, was they tried to give me disclosure, which they should have given me before I went into the, before they called the case. That's a statutory declaration under 2010, the statutory declaration. Their rules is they must give me that before the case is called. So they hadn't given me that. I'd actually tried to dismiss the charge against me in total. The PF, just that he sat there quiet, Dom, never said a word. And when the sheriff realised that he didn't know what to do, the sheriff said, I think you're wrong there. I think we can give you the documents for next time. And I says, well, the fact of the matter is the law says you must have it before I come in here. So he overruled me, which is basically what you call practising law from the bench. That's what the sheriff done, which he's not allowed to do. He's meant to be an impartial referee. And listening to the case between the Crown and myself, the argument. So he basically practiced law from the bench, which he should be doing. So I basically got a continuance at that case. But since then, I've come out of the court and I've appealed it to the higher court, and that's where I'm up to at the moment.
Oh, so it's still ongoing, and you've got to go to the high court over it then. Jeremy and Malcolm are still on the call. Always join in at any point if you've got any questions, because I know you've got many more questions on your thing that you wanted to ask as well.
Yeah, we have a few questions we wrote down. I mean, we have other subjects we can... we wanted to talk about bailiffs. We've seen all these videos. Actually, two subjects. One, there's a video online where the bailiffs show up to foreclose on a house... And to foreclose on a house, and they show up without all the documents, and there's a person representing the owners basically challenging, or basically peacefully objecting to the whole process. And then the bailiffs are being violent, I mean, verbally towards him, so he calls the police, and the whole question is, will the police be on the side of the bailiffs or not? And after a very long drama, they end up leaving. So could you explain more? I mean, could you give us more information about this whole bailiff issue and how they bring in police and try and use the police to help them threaten the citizens who aren't aware that the police shouldn't really get involved, etc.?
Yeah, I have seen that video you're talking about, People versus Banks, and it's a very good instructional video on how to do it and how to keep the bailiffs away and how to keep the police in check. But a bit of a reality check of it is that they still got evicted not long after that event. The bailiffs did come back. The police totally ignored, and they let the bailiffs use force. And this is what happens. This is how the system is. I've been there myself with evictions, helping friends, using exactly that same knowledge from People versus Banks. You use things like the Criminal Law Act and use certain case law upon the police. It's great to show them that these high courts have said this and said that bailiffs cannot use force, they cannot do this, they cannot do that. And every case has its own merits. And with the case that I was dealing with, the police are supposed to be impartial, but we've got actions of the police caught on video where they're blatantly not being impartial, and this is quite clear and evident. But the bailiff still went away, and at the moment we're just waiting to hear if there's going to be any more action, because it's not heard anything where the bailiffs came round near enough every couple of weeks to this guy's house and harassed him. And he's got court cases ongoing at the moment, which is just more harassment from the system. I think we've got somebody else that's joined the call at the moment. Would you like to say hello, introduce yourself? Maybe he hasn't.
No, he's there. I've asked him to mute. Joel, you can unmute. You're live now, mate. Difficult.
Anyway, okay, so whilst he works his mic out, where was we? Let's get back to some of your questions.
Okay, well, more questions we had. The OPPT, but actually, have you seen a film, a YouTube video called Frequently Unanswered Questions?
No, I can't say I've seen that yet, no.
Right, okay, it's an Australian film, and basically it's about a guy who's trying to import a car into Australia, and, he talks about the whole process, how they tried to tax him, and for his air conditioning, etc., but the point of the story is that when he started, he noticed that the Australian symbol is actually a private, it's a copyright symbol of Australia. And he found out there's private companies behind there, so he started challenging the, what did he say?
The customs.
He asked the Australian customs to prove that they are real de jure government. In other words, he reckons that they are not the real government. They are a private company masquerading as the Australian tax authorities, and he's asking them, show me who you are and prove to me that you are who you say you are. And basically they don't do it, because he expected them to be very easily be able to show it, because apparently in Australia there's something called letters patent, which was given by Queen Victoria, I believe, in 1900, which basically establishes a government in Australia, and it's very clear that that government has to have offices, including or departments like customs. However, what he says is the existing customs is not the real customs. It's
a company registered in the U.S.
Yeah. So he's asked them, "Who are you? Who are you?" And they couldn't show him, and eventually I think they dropped the whole case, and he got his car. I'm not sure. But anyway, the question I have, if we bring this back to the UK, so for example, if it is true, as John Harris says, that all police stations and all authorities and the government departments in England are private companies, then what question can you ask, let's say, Westminster Council that, challenges who they are? And what answer could they give you which would be satisfying that they are really de jure government, i.e. real government elected by,
the people.
The people, and I guess in England would be the constitutional laws, and that they are really for real. I mean, what would you ask them, and what would you expect as an answer?
Well, the good old famous line is, where do you actually get your authority from? And if they say from government or the Crown or wherever, then where do they get their authority from? And then it should come back to the people or you at some point. They should actually realise, go, oh, hang on a minute. And it's just, for me, about planting seeds.
Sorry, could you be more specific again? I'm not sure I understood what you said.
Well, for me, it's about just dropping information in there, little bits at a time. Because I can't get this big vision of a huge group forming and being able to change that corruption that surrounds the world. I just can't see that personally. When you sit there, if you sit there, like you say from London, I've seen you doing films in Hackney, and I know Hackney pretty damn well. And then you go and sit there next to the bus stop at Hackney Central or the town hall there. People they know there's something wrong, but they've got to carry on doing it, and they can't see a way out. And if people did rise up, don't you think they're pulling all the strings and they've got all the answers on how to deal with rebellious nature en masse? This is why it makes me wonder about the ITCCS and the OPPT, British Constitution Group. I think people have got more power within themselves singly, rather than looking to follow a huge group. That's my own opinion and what I have seen myself. Has Joe got his mic sorted out now? Is he going to join the call? Hello. Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the Disclosure Project led by Dr. Stephen Greer, because there's a film coming out funded by the people on April 22nd talking about ETs and free energy systems, and he recently did a podcast type thing with Joe Rogan talking about it, and I just want to believe it because I want Disclosure to happen, but a part of me thinks, is this just another ploy by the powers that be?
Well, Are you talking about Disclosure on aliens, UFOs and technology and things like that?
Yeah, because the way I see it is the thing that's holding us back is because all our money is based off this black liquid we burn in cars. I mean, if that disappeared and we had abundant energy for everyone, like, it'd be a better step for freedom, I guess.
I'm totally with you on that, and energy devices that could improve the planet. And there are many things that are a solution out there, but it doesn't get into the mainstream. It's written off or whatever.
That
they control all of the mainstream and information that's flooded out there. They control the whole of the internet, even all the stuff we look at, which makes me question, we've got all these wonder cures and things like that and all these energy devices. Why aren't people actually using them then when we know about them?
True. But I mean, the thing that gets me, and if it is true, this what they're talking about, they've got supposedly they have an alien body, and they showed like a little bit in the trailer, and they've got like a world renowned skeletal scientist, and it's only got 10 ribs in it, and it's not on any database, it's genomes. So I mean, if it is an actual alien, then that'd be pretty funny.
See, at the end of the day, when you look at things like the grey alien, for example, apparently the first drawings of grey was done by Aleister Crowley, so it makes you question who's putting all that information out there.
Yeah, true. I mean, I'm not sure what to believe, man. I'm not.
And they put out there all that new agey stuff, which is basically what a lot of seem to be truthers put out there as truth, and it's, for me, I'm unsure what the truth is, like the huge truth, because there's factual stuff. This is confusing. It's like you look at stuff out there online and there's stuff to discredit it and stuff to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about finding your own truth and your own solution to stuff. And when you're looking at UFOs, aliens, things like that, I remember many years ago this guy in a pub, and I said, yeah, I believe there's life forms on other planets and things like that. And he said to me, well, if you're taking that into account, then you've got to also take into account that you could be the first life form on a planet. And it's like, it's a fair point.
That's true.
So is there much solution into finding out whether aliens are real or not when we have, on a human level, got solutions to energy devices?
True, but the way I see it is, the point he tries to make is that the technology has been around that harnesses the ether that is abundant, but it has been suppressed by large oil companies and all that. But, I mean, theoretically, if you had free energy, you could then grow, you know, you could grow food in massive columns of light, and then, I guess, with the benefit.
If you had that sort of technology, you could even manipulate the weather.
That probably already happens, doesn't it? With the harp and all that.
Well, that's the thing. You know who created harp?
I don't know specifically the brains behind it, but I know it's in Alaska.
Well, look, we'll soon see how quick somebody will type his name into the chat, because I know for sure. But, like, harp was created by a scientist 100 years ago, Nikola Tesla.
Oh, is he the guy who did it? What? I didn't realise that.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, he created all these frequency devices that are being used now by the modern-day military, like frequency weapons.
Yeah.
Microwaves, things like that.
He
was a very intelligent bloke, and he wasn't an alien. But
Yeah.
Now, I'm actually looking down the side of all our truth movements and circles. How much of that truth has been pre-written for us to actually delve into and play out their little game, even along the legal lawful stuff that I look into. I'm actually trying to look at the base roots of, like, this free man movement and the people that were putting it out, first of all, and trying to find out where all this sort of, like, information exploded from.
True.
Is it another one of their plans that they're actually laying out before us, and even myself has been a puppet in their little game?
I know, man. I know. It's a crazy world. But, I mean, what I'm concerned with, the biggest thing, apart from the, like, hopefully aliens will exist one day, but the biggest thing I'm kind of worried about is, like the figures, they just don't add up. Like, how long is it going to be before, like, shit really goes down? And, like, before we get to the better stage, we've got to go through some turmoil. Like, I don't think it has to happen, but I'm pretty sure it will happen. Like, how long do you reckon it's going to be?
Well, I think the zombie apocalypse is going on now. You walk into Tesco.
Aisle 3 in Tesco's, yeah.
it's unreal. It's like there's no humanity left. People are foraging off of metal shelves in plastic boxes with stuff that's got no nutrients in. It's just all wrong. People go to hospital to get sick get pumped full of, like, toxins.
I get what you're saying, but I mean with the economy.
We've got another caller coming as well. I don't know who that is. This is just one of them random nights where, like, our guests let us down, and it's been, like, going really, really well, actually. So everyone that has called in and joined in, I do thank you muchly, and please join in at any point if you want to add anything. But we've got another caller that's just added us. Who's this?
Don.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Can indeed.
Yeah, just going the way the conversation's going with the old energy thing. And, yeah, it's something that I look up quite a lot on, you know what I mean? I was just wondering if I could add a little bit to the conversation about all this free energy and why we're not using it and things. And it's basically, when you look into it, and when it's Einstein's got it wrong. A lot of people think that Einstein actually got this wrong. And his theories don't add up when it comes down to when they hit the quantum physics and all that, you know? And that's where for the last 100 years we've been heading down the wrong path in science. And scientists are just starting to realise that when quantum physics isn't equaling the same as what Einstein's theories were saying. Does that make sense?
Well, go on about what you're talking about energy devices and what you know about what ones are viable to use.
Well, there's plenty out there that've been given away free on the internet. If you look, you can look up for something like a simple device like a Bedini schoolgirl circuit and motor, and that basically you can take a 12-volt car battery and run a motor, and it will charge various other car batteries. So from that, if you've got enough car batteries, you can run your old house on a 12-volt system through an inverter and run your things like that. But as long as you keep swapping the batteries over, that information is available there. Do you know what I mean? Anybody can make one of those. And there's millions of YouTube videos where you can download the plant, you can download all the schematics, which are really simple. It's actually called a schoolgirl circuit. This guy, John Bedini, helped a neighbor's daughter enter into a competition in her science. And that happened in the 80s. And since then, he's made better motors and improved the designs. But the simple schoolgirl will supply you with energy by using, being able to transfer energy from one battery into a coil and taking energy out of what was known as the ether energy and back into the other batteries. It's called negative energy. There's huge studies on it. They all know about it. Science, physicists have known about it. And in modern electrics, for the last 100 years or so, they've tried to compensate the negative energy. They try and stop it from happening in all modern electrics. And that's where they're going wrong.
Do you know anything about the Tesla Earth cap or the Earth battery?
Well, you can make batteries out of anything. If you could get a simple experiment you could do, dead easy, is if you've got like an ice, you know, the ice trays that you get for making ice, and in your freezer, if you filled those up with earth from your garden and just put a copper electrode in one side and a nickel-coated nail in the other, and did that in each one of those little cells and joined them up, copper to nail, copper to nail, copper to nail. You could use a coin, a penny coin. You would produce enough electricity to run a calculator. All you need to do basically is make sure that soil's moist. That electricity is there. That's an earth battery. It works exactly on the same principles of what your car battery works. They're small cells made up into 12 volts, six small cells.
But run that by me again. What, you can run a battery off an ice cube tray? How?
Yeah, if you've got an ice cube tray, just go out to your backyard and put some dirt in there, some earth, and make sure it's moist. And then in each one of those little square bits, as long as they was all separated, there was no earth touching, you put one nail, a galvanised nail, and one piece of copper into each of those square cells and join them up, so it joins them in parallel, so it goes from one end all the way around to the other. The electricity come out of there would be about 1.2 volts and a few milliamps, enough to run a calculator, a small light. You know, there's many, many ways. But the energy is getting suppressed for the simple fact is, it is true what your other guest said, I don't remember his name, but if you could have a generator that powered your house in your airing cupboard and you didn't pay for power, the world's your oyster. Power is the key.
I'm not getting that, though. How do you get electricity from Earth ice cube trays?
Well, it's basically what's happening there. It's just a chemical reaction. You get electrodes passed through, and it amplifies through each cell. It gets a little bit stronger. It's exactly the same if you lined a load of car batteries up. But that's just a small amount of electricity. You can't really do anything with that. Likewise, if you just strung... this is Tesla technology as well. This is things he discovered at the turn of the 20th century. If you just strung a wire between two trees and then another wire stuck into a good earth, maybe you can bury something like a car radiator, which you get a good connection with the earth, and connect it, you'll get between those two wires, you'll get a connection. You'll get electricity.
Sorry, Lee, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Hi, Michael speaking. Michael.
Hi.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you've heard the discussion we had previously.
Excuse me, Michael. Excuse me. Lee, can you mute your microphone when you're not speaking? We're getting feedback from you, man.
Yeah, sorry.
And if you can back away from your microphone or turn it down slightly for us, about 50%, that we'd really appreciate it. I want people to hear what you're saying, Lee, and you're overdriving, mate. Michael, please continue.
Right, so Lee, as you might have heard in the first hour, we were talking about humanity being enslaved and different ideas or opinions of people in terms of how humanity is enslaved and whether humanity is enslaved, and the corporations and OPPT and the legal system in England that is trying to, you know, the straw man argument, etc. Well, what is your opinion about all that in a context of science and technologies that are being hidden from the people? I guess that's what you're trying to say.
Well, no, I'm not saying that the technologies... I'm pretty much with Dom on this whole thing. It comes to you in a realisation of you are the power, what power you actually lies in you as, not as a person, because we don't like that word, but you as a living flesh being. You are sovereign, and if you want to stand in front of a tank and stop a row of tanks, which was actually a bit of a propaganda piece, if you look into the history of that, like Dom tried to point out before, you stand in front of tax, you can do it. You can do it if you want. Obviously, you face the consequences of your actions, but you can do it. When it comes down to the power of energy, I don't think we're being misunderstood. The information is being withheld from us. I think we're going down the wrong... We've taken a wrong fork in the road because we followed Einstein's theories. And Tesla, for example, everything you use, so much of today's technology, the mobile phone, the X-ray machine, AC electricity, everything that powers, the lights that we use, Tesla invented the majority of it, fluorescent lighting. That was all his information. He stood up and said, Einstein, you are a fool. I've done tests to prove what you're saying is wrong. And he got laughed out of the room. This is guy's a genius. He's recognised today as a genius. You try and look him up in history. They've tried to wipe his technology away, but they've kept all his patents for their use. Harp, Tesla, everything, mobile phones, the whole works, television, all Tesla inventions. He said Einstein was wrong. The scientists have followed 100 years of Einstein's theories. The God particle, it doesn't exist. They need it to exist for Einstein's theories to stand up. And it's just now that people, with the knowledge of the internet, with the information being available to everybody, people are looking and saying, whoa, these people were getting it bang on the button for today's knowledge. And they're using these old patents from the 1890s to solve today's problems. It's just amazing, and it's the internet that's doing it. And the same with Dominic and what you said before, in my opinion, is the Battle of the Beanfield. Those guys, their way of passing knowledge was pamphlets. They printed, they wrote letters to friends down the road, and a scene came together. Today we've got the internet, we've got Facebook, information passes, bam, 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 bam. We could so do it. If that revolution happened today, they could not stop it with the knowledge we have. That's my opinion on it.
I do think a pamphlet or an information sort of leaflet that we could hand out to the police would be great. Now, one of the best things I have seen online to do with this sort of stuff is Meet Your Straw Man. And I say that because it shows you how this corrupt system is, but it's not like the Free Man on the Land sort of... full genre, because it doesn't tell you to go out there and serve an affidavit and do a notice of intent and a claim of right and do this and do that, which we have seen time and time to fail. But what this does is it actually shows you how the system is enslaving people. And if we can show that in a leaflet, it's propaganda for sure, but it's a way of pointing out to the police, look, something's going on and we do need you guys. And once we've got them on, or to do something phenomenal, what a copper to actually go, it's about time I stood up and went out and arrested a criminal. And what I mean by a criminal is someone like Tony Blair or Cameron or one of these elites. When a copper actually makes a stand and comes forward and does that, then like, yeah, it's going to come down on that copper, but that's coppers manned up and seen the system for what it is. And that's when I perceive something big would have to change.
Tom, can I just interject there? Jeremy here. You see, earlier I was asking you what can we do as a collective to help bring about change. And, you know, earlier on you didn't really say you had the answer, but I think you've just hit the answer straight bang on the head. And that answer is for someone to draw up this leaflet and for people to go out and fund and have leaflets printed and give out in their own area. So we're all singing off of one song sheet, and we're educating the people. We're not trying to do things on our own. It's a leaflet that's been agreed by the masses. This is the best way to do it. And I personally would say, you know, let's put that ball in motion.
So basically, Dom, what's the first step to get the leaflet printed and designed? You're the expert.
In fact, I do actually know someone that has got printing material. Well, actually, the whole gear to do printing, and I can contact him. If somebody's got somewhere to put this equipment to do it and use it, then I'm sure that we could borrow it to do all these printings.
And what about in terms of getting people to actually give the leaflets out? I mean, how you're
joking me. Once we've created a leaflet and designed it and punted a load out ourselves, don't you think that people would want to print it off in a nice, easy PDF format and go and hand it out at their local police station and do what they see, right?
Yeah, 100%. So I'm going to be the first person to hold my hand up and say, let's get this moving. We find out how big this equipment is, how big, what place we need to put it in.
I've been told before, because I put it on offer to people before, but they didn't take up the offer, which is really shocking, because I'm not going to say who or what, but like, this would need basically a small room or a room to put all the equipment in and then move around to use it. It can print off a phenomenal amount a minute. It's top of the range. Well, not top of the range, but it's really good.
But how big it? You see, because you know, we were talking earlier. Like Roger was saying that you mentioned that he said, you know, put £100 into his new banking system, and you know, we can then get out of the old banking system. Now, I mean, I'm serious about being free. Okay, now I'm not a rich man, but if it meant that we had to hire something, you know, pay rent on a building to put printing equipment in, you know, I would certainly donate to that. And I'm sure if there's other people around the world and other people around the UK, I should say, and there's transparency so that there's, you know, nobody's making a profit out of this. Do you think that other people would be willing to make a contribution?
My contribution would be to carry on doing what I do. And if these leaflets, like, I would be well actively involved. So the thing is a lot of people do see it as monetary contribution, but I think by a contribution, if people could say, yeah, Lord, there's somebody that's instantly said, I'll print 1,000. So that's 1,000 done. Even if only two people out of that 1,000 actually go and Google a little bit of information on these leaflets or look into it a little bit deeper, the resonance will start rising on that. And I do know that what is actually happening is we are resonance and a frequency. This doesn't really matter, this physical realm, but whilst we're here, we may as well enjoy it. But for the resonance that carries on after our physical body doesn't exist anymore, you're carrying on this. It's like an energy, a frequency that's going to carry on. So surely you want it to be better for future generations, as this is what you truly are anyway. You are just part of that. So by contribution, if I don't go off the rail with that, somebody's just said, I'll print 1,000. I know for a fact that I would hand out more than 1,000. I would be involved in putting it together and setting the guys up with the printing equipment. If we can get on something like that, and I know we can, then we can sort that out before even summer starts.
Can I ask a question? Since you mentioned frequencies and, you know, touching on the spiritual aspects, can I ask you, what is your idea of a utopian world? If it all succeeds and it all goes well and the powers that are going to change and the people are going to actually make a change, let's jump ahead 50 years. What is a utopian world according to Dom?
It already is a beautiful world. The thing is the corruption that the people are focusing on, especially people within the so-called truth movements. And that's when you start to see the ugliness of the world. And, yeah, it's good to know that all that's going on, but the world is actually a very beautiful place. Nature, the real world, connection with other people, offline, gardening, foraging, interactions, helping other people randomly just because you want to. Not expect anything from it. I think we're losing that kind of thing, community spirit, eating dinner together and things like that. This is the things that we are losing, because when you sit around a fireplace together and have dinner and communicate, you're telling people your skills, and that is a way of commerce. Information should be like what we should be trading and just sharing it freely. And we could be a super race en masse. You don't need this hierarchy system that is there controlling people. And I know this, but for 50 years, then what would have to happen within that 50 years, I believe, would be a collapse at such a fundamental scale that something good could come from it. Until then, powers that be are going to keep controlling every angle of every people's lives, including my own. Whilst these power elites are in place, I'm going to still do what I do, which is a bit of bit controlled myself, because I could be doing much better things than chasing around the pawns of the Illuminati, really. I think we've got we haven't got another caller coming. That's giving me time to punt out what our next show tonight's about. It's Dawn from Dark City. She'll be on doing her thing. I don't know who her guest is. I'm really sorry. It's Logan.
It's Damon Leff is the guest tonight. He'll just be talking about his campaign against witch hunts. It's not just his. Obviously, he's director of the Pagan Rights Alliance. So his group has been doing advocacy work to do with that.
So you've got Dawn afterwards with pagan rites and witch hunts. And if anyone is listening in that's been turned into a newt, then you might find out where your rites are from this witch hunt. Is there any last words from anyone that's still in the call?
Last words other than thank you very much for having us. It was fascinating and interesting and brilliant to meet all of you.
And I would definitely like to speak to you more about the leaflet.
Okay. What the best thing to do is, anyone that wants to get involved in this that's listening right now, you may as well either send me a message where you listen to it and we'll take it from there. What I'll do from here is contact the guy that I know with all the printing equipment and see what we can do. So if I hand it over to the Dark City crew, we've also got a shout coming out. It's only 2 minutes. It's Max Radico, and the guy has been hugely involved in the Canadian truth movement for many, many years, and we had him on the show a few weeks ago. He got sectioned not long after the show, but he's round his mother's. He had a chat with us, and he done a little shout-out that we're going to put on the radio. And I'd like to say much love to the big man like Max Radico, and I'm signing out for tonight. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening in, and all the guests that have come in.